增值。 W5BSA repeater.
Good evening, folks. QST, this is Marty, WB5Y. It's once again time for another edition of the Houston AmSatNet. The set meets on Tuesdays to discuss topics related to satellites, balloons, and other amateur-related items. This is net number 1613, and it's 8 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, May the 27th, 2025, which in UTC time is Wednesday, May the 28th, 2025, at 0100. And this is a directed net, and all calls should go through net control, and this net is dedicated to Andy McAllister, W5ACM. And thanks to Joe, W5BSA, we're on the 145.19 repeater in West Houston, and we're on the 443.325 repeater in Katy, both with a PL tone, also 123.0, and it's also its links to the 146.7 and other repeaters, and the AmSat DMR TOT group, 98006, YSF Fusion, 11689, All-Star Node 572580, and Echolink, star, AmSat, star.
DL-123.
Okay, we'll now take local check-ins. Okay, well, we're going to start with a little bit of information here from the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And, of course, they do have their monthly meeting on the second Wednesday of the month, and that happens at 4:30 p.m. local here at a restaurant here in town. And then at 8 p.m., there's a meeting over at k5wh.net/Zoom. So we appreciate Walter giving access to everybody to participate with that and keeping the South Texas Balloon Launch Team going. See, they did have another launch they were going to do, which was going to be a BLT-157, but the winds got a little bit too active. They were looking for like 2-mile-an-hour winds, and they had plus 10-mile-an-hour winds. And so that balloon launch got postponed by a little bit. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, with the South Texas Balloon Launch Team. And we want to remind everybody you can call and make a quick phone check into the net. The number is 713-467-9870. You can send an APRS message. That's to West Virginia 5 Yankee, with no dashes and no numbers, as Andy used to like to say. Or that email address, it's wv5y@comcast.net. Okay, let's see, we're going over here to the AmSat News Service Bulletin. This is AmSat News Service Bulletin number 145 from Paul Stotzer. And let's see, the AmSat News Service Bulletins are a free weekly news and information service of AmSat, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation. ANS publishes news related to amateur radio in space, including reports on the activities of a worldwide group of amateur radio operators who share an active interest in designing, building, launching, and communicating through analog and digital amateur radio satellites. And the news feed over on www.amsat.org publishes news of amateur radio in space as soon as our volunteers can post it. It's over at ans-editor@amsat.org. Okay, so that's where you want to send any amateur satellite news or reports. And you can sign up for a free email delivery of the AMSAT News Service bulletins via the ANS list. To join the list, you go to mailman.amsat.org/pastorius/lists/ans.amsat.org. And we want to thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making these links, these URLs, available over at amsatnet.com. All right, Dick Jansen, KD1K, former AMSAT Vice President in Engineering, has become a silent key, unfortunately. Yes, it is with sadness that AMSAT notes the passing of Richard M. Dick Jansen, KD1K, formerly WB4FAB, a longtime Vice President of Engineering for the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, AMSAT, and he passed away on May the 13th, 2025, and he was 94 years old. During his working career, Dick held a variety of engineering positions with Sperry Corporation, including helping to develop, construct, and evaluate instrumentation for advanced supersonic and hypersonic aircraft, including the X-15, and at NHCA, which was the forerunner for NASA. And then Dick also worked at the MIT Instrumentation Laboratory, where he designed, developed, and tested space navigation and guidance instruments for the Apollo program. Later, as a senior staff engineer for Honeywell, he created thermal designs for electro-optical instrumentation on several critical U.S. space projects, including Explorers 33 and 35, as well as the Apollo and Skylab programs for NASA. Dick then went on to transfer his expertise to the Martin Marietta Corporation, where he was active in the design and testing of miniature closed-cycle cryogenic coolers for infrared detectors on several forward-looking infrared, or FLIR, applications. After his retirement from Martin Marietta, Dick performed thermal and mechanical design, computer thermal analysis, and material selection functions on a wide variety of AMSAT spacecraft, including Oscars 10 and 13, as well as the Microsat series. He was heavily involved in the thermal, structural, and mechanical design of the AMSAT Phase 3D satellite, which later became AMSAT Oscar 40 on orbit. And for his work on a number of AMSAT spacecraft over the years, Dick was honored by the Dayton Hamvention with their prestigious Technical Excellence Award in 1993. Dick was first licensed as an amateur radio operator in 1972 and held an extra class license. For many years, he resided in Maitland, Florida, with his loving wife, the former Mary Sweeney of Washington, D.C., who predeceased him. The Jansons were the proud parents of three children, Catherine, Carol, and Edward. A memorial service for Dick, set to be held at St. Luke's Church in Oviedo, Florida at 10 a.m. on the 4th of June, 2025. Okay, and we want to thank Keith Baker, KB1SF/BA3KSF, AMSAT past president, for that information. AMSAT removed before flight key tags are available. And yes, they are the real thing. So get your lovely red and white removed before flight key tags. And your $20 donation goes to help fly a Fox Plus satellite. It includes first class postage. And sorry, that's only for U.S. addresses only. And you can order today at www.amsat.org/product/amsat-remove-before-flight-keychain. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmsatNet. The nominations are now open for the 2025 AMSAT Board of Directors election. AMSAT solicits nominations for the 2025 AMSAT Board of Directors election, scheduled to take place in the third quarter of the year. The seats of the following four incumbent directors expire in 2025. And will be filled by this year's election. And that's Barry Baines, WB4ASW, Jerry Buxton, N0JY, Drew Glassbrenner, KO4MA, and Zach Methinger, N0ZGO. And further, up to two alternate directors may be elected for one-year terms. A valid nomination for director must be written and requires either one member society or five current individual members in good standing to nominate an AMSAT member.
BL-123.
Written nominations with the nominee's name, call sign, and contact information, as well as the nominator's name, call signs, and contact information should be sent to the AMSAT secretary, and that's Douglas Tabor, N6UA, at 1133 Verland Way, that's V-E-R-L-A-N-W-A-Y, in Cheyenne, Wyoming, 82009. AMSAT bylaws require that the nomination be written and in the form specified by the secretary, who has elected to accept written nomination materials via postal mail or in electronic form, including email or electronic image of a paper document. Fax transmissions cannot be accepted. Those email nominations may be sent to dtabor@amsat.org. Regardless of the means used, petitions must be received by the secretary no later than June the 15th. The secretary will verify the qualifications of candidates and nominating members or member societies as petitions are accepted, and will notify candidates whether their nominations are in order by the end of June. And we want to thank Douglas Tabor in 6UA, AMSAT Secretary, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AMSAT Net. The 2025 AMSAT President's Club coins are here. Celebrating the 40th anniversary of amateur radio on human spaceflight, you can help support the Golf and the Fox Plus projects. You can join the AMSAT President's Club today, and to do that, you go to www.amsat.org/join-the-amsat-presidents-club. There is an all-new, updated, digital edition of Getting Started with Amateur Satellites that is now available. newly revised in May of 2025. This definitive reference is written for the new satellite operator by Goldsmith, WA4SXM, but includes discussions for the experienced operator who wishes to review the features of amateur satellite communications. The new operator will be introduced to the basic concepts and terminology unique to this mode. Additionally, there are many practice tips and tricks to ensure making contacts and to sound like an experienced satellite operator in the process. All right, the digital edition of the book is available from the AMSAT store for $15. And you can go to www.amsat.org/getting-started-with-amateur-satellites-digital-download. All right, we thank AMSAT for the information, and we thank Bruce, KK5DO, for making these links available over at AMSATnet.com. This is Marty, WB5Y with the Houston AmSatNet, and we're just a quarter past the hour here, so we're going to take a quick standby and see who we've got checking in. Okay, we heard from Charlie, K5ENG. He's over there in West Houston. So appreciate him checking in there. And let's see, we've got Dale, WD0AKO. He's up there in Moorhead, Minnesota, when he's not busy taking cruises. He does the backup archiving of the audio for the website, and we do appreciate that because we have had to use it once or twice. Then we got Vern, W0RCR, out in Wentzville, Missouri, and he transmits our net on 1.860 MHz, full carrier AM, as Vern likes to say, and that's at 5:30 p.m. and 9 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays. So we appreciate him putting us on the top band. All right, we had a nice discussion with Kai in 6ZZO this week, and he's over there in McKinleyville, California, and I guess that was last week, but we appreciate hearing from him, and he's one of our podcast listeners who listens to the net afterwards and then checks in after that, so we appreciate hearing from him. And let's see, looks like we don't have any APRS check-ins. It's been a while since we've had any of those. From the Internet Relay Chat Program, we've got Ken, AK0A, Clay, KG4OZW, who is, yes, listening with Rachy, so hello to Rachy as well. And then we've got Brian, KG4WIJ, Renee, NZ9T, Bob, K8WX, and then let's see, from Echolink. Okay, we've got Mitch, AB0HJ, and of course he's over there in Jackson, Minnesota. To him, you can participate in the Wednesday night AmSatNet, and that takes place on DMR. And that's in the DMR chat group 98006 or YSF Fusion 11689, and also on the 443.325 repeater over there in Katy. So we got that as well, and also on the 146.700 repeater, so which is now in downtown Houston. Okay, we want to say hello to Bob, K9OIM, and also to Damien, AG9P. He's in the Oconto, Wisconsin. And then hello to Bruce up there in Roman Forest, KK5DO. We've got N6UTC, that's Indoff. He's over there in Long Beach, California. And then Steve, KA5YFC. Okay, this is Marty, WV, from the Houston AmSatNet. The Hades ICM FM repeater to be active weekends beginning in mid-June. AmSat EA expects to activate the Hades ICM FM repeater on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays starting in mid-June. Satellite has a 145.875 megahertz uplink and a 436.666 megahertz downlink. The NORAD ID for Keplerian elements is 63492. SO-124, or Hades-R, continues in 24-hour operation with a 145.925 MHz uplink and a 436.888 MHz downlink. Wednesdays are reserved for digital modes. Updates on AmSat EA satellites can be found over at x.com/EB1AO. And x.com/AmSatSpain. And we want to thank AmSat EA for that information.
DL-123.
Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSatNet. Two-line elements, or TLEs, often referred to as Keplerian elements, or KEPs in the amateur community, are the inputs to the SGP-4 standard mathematical model of spacecraft orbits used by most amateur tracking programs. The weekly updates are completely adequate for most amateur satellites, and TLE bulletin and files are updated daily in the first hour of the UTC day. Alright, you can find new bulletin files posted immediately after reliable elements become available for new amateur satellites. And more info can be found over at www.amsat.org/Keplerian-elements-resources. Okay, we've got a couple of birds here that have gone defunct. We've got IO-117, NORAD catalog ID 53106, is reported as non-operational. And then AAUSAT-2, NORAD catalog ID 32788, decayed from orbit on or about the 20th of May, 2025. I want to thank Joe Fitzgerald, KM1P, AmSat Orbital Elements Map, information. Hey, do you need these satellite antennas? You can purchase an M2 LEO pack from the AmSat store. And when you purchase new AmSat, a portion of the proceeds goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And you get a bit of a discount over what M2 charges normally for their antennas. go over to hamsat.org/product-category/hardware, or just go to hamsat.org and click in the menu and go to the AMSAT store. Amateurs and others around the world may listen in on contacts between amateurs operating in schools and allowing students to interact with astronauts and cosmonauts aboard the International Space Station. The downlink frequency on which to listen is on 145.800 MHz worldwide. We got a bunch of new contacts scheduled here, looks like. A bunch of new places I'm probably not going to be able to pronounce. That's okay. We'll give it a shot. We've got Ryle City in Russia. The ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Alexei Zubritsky. And the Eris Mentor is RV3DR. Contact is Tuesday, 5/27/2025 at 1350 UTC. Okay, then we've got a contact coming up for the Royal Moroccan Air Academy in Marrakesh, Morocco, direct via CN8ERA, ISS call sign, scheduled to be OR4ISS with crew member Nicole Ayers, KJ5GWI, and the Eris Mentor is IN3GHZ. Contact is Wednesday, 5/28/2025 at 12:55:36 UTC with a 72 degree elevation. Okay, we've got the Yonezawa 5th Junior High School in Yonezawa, Japan, direct via 8N7Y5JH. ISS call sign scheduled to be OR4ISS. Crew member Takaya Onoshi, KF5LKS, and the Eris Mentor is 7M3TJZ. This contact is a go for Thursday, 5/29/2025 at 09:23:02 UTC with a 26 degree elevation. And they have a live stream you can watch out for or watch. And that's over on youtube.com/live/V2BCWHEEIGY. Or look over on amsatnet.com. Thanks to Bruce for the links. We've got at Karsk, Saratov region in Russia. Their ISS call sign scheduled to be RS0ISS with crew member Sergei Ryzakov. And the Eris Mentor is RV3DR. Contact is go for Thursday, 5/29/2025 at 1355 UTC. Okay, then there's the Staraminsky district in Russia as a contact scheduled to be with RF0ISS and crew member Kirill Peskov. The Eris Mentor is RV3DR, and the contact is a go for Saturday, 5/31/2025 at 10:35 UTC. Many times, a school may make a last-minute decision to do a live stream or run into a last-minute glitch requiring a change of the URL, but we at Eris may not get the URL in time for publication. So you can always check live.aris.org to see if a school is live streaming. And as always, if there's an EVA, a docking or an undocking, the AIRIS radios are turned off as part of the safety protocol. And the crossband repeater continues to be active on the International Space Station. It's on 145.990 MHz up with a peel tone of 67. And then you listen on 437.800 MHz, the downlink. If any crew member is so inclined, all they have to do is pick up the mic, raise the volume up, and they can talk on the crossband repeater. So give a listen. You just never know. And they say note, all their times here listed are approximate, so it's recommended you do your own orbital prediction if you want to listen to one of these, or start listening about 10 minutes before our listed times. And the latest info on the operation mode for the ISS can be found over at www.aris.org/current-status-of-iss-stations.html. And the latest list of frequencies in use can be found at www.aris.org/contact-v-iss.html. Okay, we want to thank Charlie Safana, AJ9N, one of the AIRIS Operation Team mentors, for that information. Looks like we're right here at the bottom of the hour, so we'll go ahead and take this opportunity to take a standby and see if we have any local check-ins. So any check-ins over the repeater, come now. All right, I guess I should say over the repeater or any other connected means, but I think you get the gist. Hey, you want to fly the colors on your own grid expedition? You can get an AMSAT car flag and other neat stuff from our Zazzle store. And when you do, 25% of the purchase price of each product goes towards keeping amateur radio in space. And the URL is www.zazzle.com/store/AMSAT_gear.
DL-123.
All right, we're just blazing right through tonight's material here. Let's see, we do have some AMSAT ambassador activities. Of course, Hamvention already happened, and looked like it was very popular, as always, and it looks like a lot of fun. And it looks like they had a big turnout. AMSAT ambassadors provide presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, and host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, convention, maker fairs, and other events. And AMSAT ambassador Clint Bradford, K6LCS, says, you think a 75-minute presentation on working the Easy satellites would be appropriate for your club or event? If you do, let me know by emailing at k6clint@gmail.com or calling 909-999-7287. Clint has never given the exact same show twice. Each of his 150-plus presentations so far has been customized or tailored to his audiences. All right, we've got a few scheduled events still on the list. We've got for June 21st, 2025, the Rochester Amateur Radio Association HamFest, and that's at the Barnard Firefield in with 410 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14616. And the AMSAT ambassador there should be KB2YSI. All right, then on September the 6th, 2025, we've got the Greater Louisville Ham Fest, and that's at Paraquet Springs Conference Center at 395 Paraquet Springs Drive, Shepherdsville, Kentucky, 40165, and W4FCL will be the ambassador there. Okay, then October 16th, 17th, 18th, and 19th, we've got the AMSAT Board of Directors meeting and the 43rd Annual AMSAT Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting been announced, and all the locations and times and schedules and all that good stuff. It's going to be at the Holiday Inn and Suites in Phoenix Airport North, which is at 1515 North 44th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, 85008. And you can find the details right over at AMSAT.org/2025-symposium. Hey, would you like to provide AMSAT presentations, demonstrate communicating through amateur satellites, or host information tables at club meetings, AmFest, conventions, maker fairs, and other events, then you might be interested in becoming an AmSat ambassador. For more information, you can go to www.amsat.org/ambassador. And we want to thank Bo Lowry, W4FCL, the director of the AmSat Ambassador Program, for that information. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AmSat Net. Oh, we got a short listing here of satellite shorts from all over. We've got Peter Goodhall, 2M0SQL, has developed a portableplanner.com. A web application that allows portable satellite operators to calculate their transmit and receive frequencies and find mutual passes. The web application can be added to your home screen on iOS and Android devices and can be also used offline. This application can help portable satellite operators easily determine what frequency to transmit and receive at on a linear transponder satellite when operating without computer control. And we'll say thanks to Peter Goodhall, 2M0SQL. All right, and we want to say congratulations to the folks who have received two new AMSAT Rover Awards that have been issued, and that's number 88 to Torsten, DG7RO, and number 89 to Sean, KK7OFV, or OVF, sorry, KK7OVF. For more information on AMSAT's awards program, you can visit www.amsat.org/awards-2. And that's the number 2. And we want to say thanks to Bruce Page, KK5DO, AMSAT Director of Contests and Awards, for that one. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y, and the Houston AMSAT Net. Let's look around, see if we have any more check-ins. Okay, looks looks like we don't have anything on APRS at the moment. We do have a couple of check-ins here on Echolink. Let's see, we want to say hello to Andrew, KC5LWY. He's down there in Galveston, and I hope he's having a good evening tonight. We've got KK7OVF, and that's Sean. He's in Oregon in grid CM85. And then we've got Alan, K6AGW. So welcome aboard, welcome to Echolink, and welcome to the Houston AmSatNet. Change gears a little bit, and we're going to go over to Space Daily. All right. Oh, looks like I missed that one. SpaceX launches Starship rocket on its latest test flight. And this is from South Padre Island, United States, or Boca Chica, May the 27th, 2025. SpaceX's Starship Mega Rocket, the linchpin of founder Elon Musk's ambitions to colonize Mars, blasted off on its latest test mission on Tuesday after the vessel's last two outings ended in fiery explosions. The biggest and most powerful launch vehicle ever built launched around 6:36 p.m. or 2336 GMT from the company's Starbase facility, near a southern Texas village that recently voted to become a city, also called Starbase. Standing at 403 feet tall, or 123 meters, the black and white colored behemoth is designed to eventually be fully reusable and carries billionaire Musk's hopes of making humanity a multi-planetary species. NASA, on a variant of Starship, to serve as the crew lander for Artemis 3, the mission to return Americans to the moon. And they also want to use a reconditioned Starship and to bring the ISS back when eventually when that happens, a variant of, that's the Delta 9. The head of the countdown, excitement was high among dozens of spectators who had traveled to the nearby island, Isla Blanca Park on South Padre Island, to see if SpaceX would pull it off. Australian Piers Dawson, 50, told AFP he is obsessed with the rocket and made it a destination on his family vacation, which was his first trip to the United States with his wife and teenager.
DL-123.
I'm just expecting a successful launch. Obviously, that's very exciting, Dawson said, adding that he had taken his 15-year-old son out of school to be there. Several small tourist boats also dotted the lagoon to catch a glimpse of the spectacle, while a live feed showed Musk sitting at ground control in Starbase wearing an Occupy Mars t-shirt. Fail fast, learn fast. To date, Starship has completed 8 integrated test flights atop the Super Heavy booster, with 4 successes and 4 failures ending in explosions. company's betting that its fail fast, learn fast approach, which helped it become the dominant force in commercial spaceflight, will once again pay off. It acknowledged in a statement that progress won't always come in leaps. On the bright side, SpaceX has now demonstrated 3 times that it can catch the super heavy first stage booster in the giant robotic arms of its launch tower, a daring feat of engineering that it says is key to making the system rapidly reusable and reducing costs. The company will be reusing a Super Heavy booster for the first time on this 9th flight. Because engineers want to fly it in new ways that push its limits, including a steeper descent angle and intentionally disabling one engine, there will be no attempt to catch the Super Heavy booster this time. Instead, it will just splash down in the Gulf of Mexico. As in previous missions, the upper stage spaceship will attempt to fly halfway around the globe and splash down in the Indian Ocean. The ship will also undergo stress testing. Several heat shield tiles have been removed, one of a number of experiments aimed at making it reusable in the long term. SpaceX will also aim to deploy its first ever payload simulators of its Starlink internet satellites, which are expected to burn up in the atmosphere. In issuing its launch approval, the Federal Aviation Administration said it had nearly doubled the airspace closure zone to 1,600 nautical miles east of the launch site. It is coordinating with authorities in the UK, the British-controlled Turks and Caicos Islands, the Bahamas, Mexico, and Cuba. And the FAA also recently approved an increase in annual launches from 5 to 25, stating the increased frequency would not adversely impact the environment and overruling objections from conservative groups. Okay, this is Marty, WV5Y and the Houston AmSatNet. Okay, let's see. This is also about Musk. Says after a brief X outage, Musk says he's refocusing on his businesses. And this is by Asad Hashim from Washington from May the 24th. Social media platform X was hit by a 2-hour outage Saturday, prompting owner Elon Musk to say he needs to spend more time focusing on his companies. His statement echoed comments earlier this month suggesting he would reduce his role in U.S. President Donald Trump's administration. The world's richest person has an extraordinarily full plate as owner CEO of X, XAI, developer of the AI-powered chatbot Grok, electric car maker Tesla, and rocket builder SpaceX, not to mention his recent polarizing efforts to help Trump slash the size of the U.S. federal government. His backlash to those cuts grew, and Tesla share prices slipped. Musk began drawing away from the government role, confirming last week that he was down to 1 or 2 days a week at the so-called Department of Government Efficiency. Still, the man who contributed more than $235 million to Trump's election campaign remains a close advisor to the U.S. president, attending an Oval Office meeting with the South African president on Wednesday. After the X outage on Saturday, Musk suggested that May have been away from his company for too long. As evidenced by the X uptime issues this week, major operational improvements need to be made, he said. The failover redundancy should have worked, but it did not. X had largely returned to normal service by 11 a.m. U.S. Eastern Time, or 1500 GMT, on Saturday. The Site Intelligence Group reported that hacker activist group Dynet had claimed responsibility for the outage. Dynet, it said, had called the attack a test of its so-called distributed denial of service, or DDoS, capabilities, flooding the system with online traffic to make it inaccessible to legitimate users. AFP was unable to independently verify Dynet's claim of responsibility, and X did not immediately respond to requests for comment on the outage. Back to spending 24/7 at work and sleeping in conference server factory rooms, Musk posted on X. I must be super focused on X/XAI and Tesla plus Starship launch as we have critical technologies rolling out. SpaceX announced Friday it plans to attempt a new launch of its mega rocket Starship next week, which it did today. Still under development, Starship exploded in flight during two previous launches. Starship is key to Musk long-term colonize Mars, and SpaceX has been betting on the launch of numerous Starship prototypes despite the explosive failures to quickly identify and address problems. The South African-born billionaire has for weeks been signaling that he would reduce his political role to refocus on his businesses. Early this month, Musk acknowledged that his ambitious effort to slash U.S. federal spending did not fully reach its goals, despite tens of thousands of job cuts and drastic budget reductions. This week, he said he would pull back from spending his fortune on politics, although he did not rule out backing future causes if I see a reason. Of his recent political donations, he said, "I did what needed to be done." All right, this is Marty, WV5Y in the Houston AmSat Net. Okay, taking a quick scan. Looks like we don't have any more new check-ins. Some downcast on the claim of hints of life on a faraway planet.
DL-123.
And this comes from Daniel Lawler from Paris on the AFP from May 24th also. When astronomers announced last month they might have discovered the most promising hints of alien life yet on a distant planet, the rare good news raised hopes humanity could soon learn we are not alone in the universe. But several recent studies looking into the same data have found that there is not enough evidence to support such lofty claims, with one scientist accusing the astronomers, of jumping the gun. The debate revolves around the planet K2-18b, which is 124 light years away in the Leo constellation. The planet is thought to be the right distance from its star to have liquid water, making it a prime suspect in the search for extraterrestrial life. Last month, astronomers used the James Webb Space Telescope made headlines by announcing they had detected hints of the chemicals dimethyl sulfide, DMS, and dimethyl disulfide, DMDS, on the planet. These chemicals are only produced by life such as marine algae on Earth, meaning they are considered potential biosignatures indicating life. The astronomers, led by Cambridge University's Niku Madhusudan, expressed caution about the hints of a biosignature, emphasizing they were not claiming a definitive discovery. Their detection had reached a 3 sigma level of statistical significance, which means there is still a 3 in 1,000 chance of this being a fluke, Madhusudan said at the time. Two of Madhusudan's former students, Lewis Wellbanks of Arizona State University and Matthew Nixon of Maryland University, were among the researchers who have since reanalyzed the data behind the announcement. When deployed other statistical models, claims of a potential biosignature detection vanish, according to their preprint study published online late last month. Like the other papers since the April announcement, it has not been peer-reviewed. In one model, Wellbanks and colleagues expanded the number of possible chemicals that explain the signals detected by Webb to 90 from the original 20. More than 50 received a hit, Wellbanks told AFP. When you detect everything, did you really detect anything, he asked. They are not saying the planet definitely does not have DMS, just that more observations are needed, Wellbanks added. Arguments are healthy. Madhusudan welcomed the robust debate, saying that remaining open to all possibilities is an essential part of the scientific method. These sort of arguments are healthy, he told AFP. His team even went further, releasing their own preprint study last week to expand the number of chemicals even further to 650. The three most promising chemicals they found, including DMS, but not DMDS, a major part of the team's announcement in April. The other two chemicals were dimethyl sulfide and methyl acrylonitrile, the latter of which is toxic. Madhusudan admitted that these little-known chemicals are likely not realistic molecules for a planet like K2-18b. Wellbanks pointed out that in the span of a month, with no new data and no new models, with no new laboratory data, their entire analysis changed. Telescopes observe such far-off exoplanets when they cross in front of their star, allowing astronomers to analyze how molecules block different wavelengths of light streaming through their atmosphere. Earlier this week, a paper led by Raphael Lutz of the University of Chicago combined Webb's observations of K2-18b in both the near-infrared and mid-infrared wavelengths of light. They also found no statistical significance for DMS or DMDS, the paper said. Oh. An earlier paper by Oxford astrophysicist Jake Taylor using a basic statistical test also found no strong evidence for any biosignatures. Madhusudan dismissed the latter paper, saying the simple exercise did not account for observing physical phenomena. He also stood by his research, saying he was just as confident in the work as he was a month ago. More data about K218b will come in over the next year, which should offer a much clearer picture. Even if the planet does have DMS, it is not a guarantee of life. The chemical has been detected on a lifeless asteroid. However, many researchers do believe that science telescopes could one day collect enough evidence to identify alien life from afar. We are the closest we have ever been to such a moment, Wilbanks said, but we have to use the frameworks that are in place and build up evidence in a reliable method rather than using non-standard practices and jumping the gun, as has been done in this particular case, Nixon added. Okay, this is Marty, WV5YM, the Houston AmSatNet. You can join AmSat today by going to launch.amsat.org. In addition to regular membership, AmSat offers membership to societies. Primary and secondary school students are eligible for membership at one half the standard yearly rate, and post-secondary school students enrolled in at least half-time status shall be eligible for the student rate for a maximum of 6 post-secondary years in the status. And memberships are available for annual and lifetime terms. You can contact info@amsat.org for additional membership information. Okay, we get a 7-3, and remember to help keep amateur radio in space, and that's from this week's ANS editor, Paul Stotzer, N8HM, and that's N8HM at AWS. Okay, we hope everybody enjoyed this week's version of the Houston AmSatNet. Look forward to catching everybody next week, so stay safe. Keep making lots of satellite contacts, playing with those radios, and we'll look forward to catching everybody next week. So from Andy, W5ACM, Bruce, KK5VO up there in Roman Forest, myself, Marty, WV5Y in Northwest Houston, we say 7-3s for this week from the Houston AmSatNet.